Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, Episode 15. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Beth Ann. Today on the show, we'll be hearing from Mamika Cooney. She's an award-winning photographer, published author, and host of Mamika TV.
Mamika is very honest with us about her low point in her business and in her personal life. Learn how she pushed past that.
Mamika shares the strategy behind having a do not do list and how it helps her to stay focused.
And laugh along with us as she describes how writing a book is like having a baby.
Let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Well, today on the show, we are so excited to welcome Mamika Cooney. Mamika is a South African-born international award-winning photographer, creator and TV host of Mamika TV, published author, speaker, and small business marketing expert. She enjoys sharing her business marketing and photography knowledge both online and at workshops to other professional photographers and small business owners. She owns a residential portrait studio specializing in beauty, glamour, and baby portraiture based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mamika is also launching a new online school called Capture School, where she'll teach the fundamentals of business and marketing through the site. So welcome to the show, Mamika. We're so excited to have you.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. I always love to be able to chat to other like-minded moms and business maniacs. I'm sure we'll have a lot of things we can cover tonight.
Mamika, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and your business?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm a mom of three busy kids. My eldest is 15. I have a 13-year-old and a 4-year-old. And as you mentioned earlier, I have a home-based portrait studio. So primarily, I've been a photographer for the past 11 years. I started in business in online marketing when the internet first came out in South Africa. I remember it was almost 19 years ago. And since then, I've always enjoyed the creative side of photography as well as the business. Now, having a home-based studio, I'm sure a lot of moms can understand the whole aspect of trying to run a business and run a home without going completely losing your marbles. But there's some ways and means I've learned to work around things. So it's been a really fun ride, but there's always an adjustment, and I'm always learning as I go along, really.
So Mamika, I know recently you've launched Mamika TV. Can you talk a little bit about how you decided to do that and how you've gotten the word out about this new branch of your business?
Yeah, sure. Well, I always say, kind of like Madonna, I have these moments of reinvention. Like whenever I feel like I get bored with something, I need to learn something else. And I get really intrigued about making sure that I know exactly what it is I'm looking at. So for instance, with my photography, you know, I've been running my studio in my home. I originally got started in England back in 2003 when the likes of digital first came out. And then my husband got transferred here to the States in 2006. And I restarted my business again. And of course, over the years, you know, as the economy's changed and businesses, the whole platform has changed, I've always been curious as to figure out, you know, what makes people successful? And what do they do that perhaps I'm not doing that I could use in my own business? So it's really came from a point of curiosity. And I just really wanted to know for people in my industry, and it's almost like the photography industry has gone through a bit of a slump where, you know, before people would value the likes of a professional photographer. But somehow, because of digital now and the accessibility of cameras that, you know, anybody's a photographer now. You're a photographer because you have a camera on your phone. That the likelihood of people actually valuing paying for someone's time has really depreciated, which is kind of sad because people still need to run this as a business, whether you are a hairstylist, an online marketer or a photographer, there is always the aspects of time. So for me, you know, I really looked at it and thought, you know, how could I help the industry? How could I get to the meat of things? Kind of like put away the whole, you know, smoke and mirrors. And I really wanted to get down to the gist of things. And I've been pleasantly surprised how open a lot of people have been. I think I've got up to about 45 interviews so far that I've done in the last 8 months. And the show comes out every Wednesday. It's a weekly TV, YouTube hosted show on my website, mamikacooney.com. And I like to interview creative business owners specifically about business, what they do to make their business successful, and marketing, how do they get themselves out there? As well as, which has pleasantly surprised me, is the life balance side too. So even though I've interviewed a ton of photographers, I have also interviewed other people who are perhaps branding strategists, social media marketers, you know, speakers, authors, coaches, because I feel, you know, even though you like I might be in the photography industry, as business owners and also business moms, the elements of business remain the same, no matter what industry you're in. And I think the way that the digital media has changed and the speed of the way things change, especially with marketing now, there is a huge need in order to be able to stay ahead of the game without the fluff. So I kind of have developed the whole out of curiosity and asking questions, and really in the last 2 years I've studied a lot of books and been mentored by a lot of people. So I could really build something that's of value that other people could find easy enough to implement in their businesses without the mistakes, because boy, I've made a ton of those.
That sounds like a great idea. You mentioned the work-life balance, which is something that we're also very curious about with other women and mom entrepreneurs, because it's a lot to juggle if you're a mom and a woman in the home and then also the business. So for you personally, how do you actually find time to get your business work done and spend time with your children and take care of your home and all of that?
Yeah, when I had my first child, my mom always said to me, get used to the working mother's guilt, because she says it never goes away. You feel guilty when you're working and that you're not with your kids. And then when you are with your kids, you feel guilty about the work you haven't done. So years ago, I realized I had to get over that, because you always feel like, as women, we feel like we have to be perfect in what we do. And I had to come to peace about the fact that I will never be perfect, but I can strive for excellence. So how I could do that was putting in systems that would help me streamline the way I work. So for instance, my best friend is Google Calendar, and everybody in the family has their own color. So my appointments for work, my 3-year-old's calendar, my 15-year-old's calendar, it's all synced online, so I can, you know, really keep myself organized and have reminders for things I need to do. And I'm a huge proponent of time blocking. Like, for instance, now that we're on summer, it's a little different, but during school year, my eldest two, of course, are off on the bus by 7:30 in the morning. My little one is still in preschool, and she is only at preschool 4 mornings a week between 9 and 1, and between those times is the times that I've made myself available to do work servicing my photography clients. But what I even find even with that is, like, I will chunk on a Tuesday, I don't see clients, that's my admin day, that's the day I will answer emails, I'll write blog posts, I'll, you know, plan my social media calendar for the week, and then say Wednesday, Thursday days I'll do interviews or see clients. And so by time chunking, I'm in the creative mind, or I'm in the writing mode, so you can actually get more done, as opposed to, I'm sure you find this as well, you start something, then something, an interruption comes in, and then it's like you feel frustrated because you haven't finished the first task, and you go and go to the other one, then you have to go back to the first task, but you have to redo it all over again. And to me, that's a lot of wasted energy and time. So I mean, of course, I'm not perfect, but I do try to keep as strict a schedule with myself. And even things like having to schedule a massage. Like, if I don't schedule a massage, it ain't going to get done. Or going to the gym. And, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, of course, having older kids, my 15-year-old does help a lot with the 4-year-old. Like, she was bathing her earlier this evening so I could get set up for tonight. And I just feel like, you know, if I need the help, I'm going to make sure that I ask for help. And I do try make sure that getting away from the crazy hours that I was working before, because as a photographer, we do work a lot of hours. It's not just the time you spend in front of the clients. It's the time before where you're doing the prep work, the marketing, the customer service, and then you seeing your client. And then you have the retouching, which is often just as long as the photo shoots take. And fulfilling those orders for those clients. And I find sometimes I could work 60, 70, sometimes 80 hours a week if I allowed myself to do that. Mm. And eventually my husband said to me one day, I'm so sick and tired of sitting in front of the TV by myself. It's like you're having an affair with your computer. He says, either you fix it or find something else to do. So it was kind of one of those, you know, epiphanies where I thought, you know what, this isn't bringing me closer to what I want to be doing with my life. I'm stressed out. My husband's annoyed. The kids are behaving like brats. The house is a mess. And I realized I just can't do it all. So for me, what I found was the biggest and most liberating thing for me to do was to say no. And it's hard because I'm a people pleaser. I like to make sure I do things well and I like to make people happy. But I kind of started to make my do not do list. In other words, you know, we all have this long to-do list. In actual fact, sometimes what's more effective is the list you make, the things that you will not do. And some things I realized I had to give up, like, you know, if I wanted to learn how to speak Italian, that wasn't going to happen. It had to just be crossed out and go, okay, that's not going to happen. Maybe not never, but definitely not for now. So I find by making that list of things that I were prioritized in terms of what I had to do now and what could wait for later and what that could wait for maybe a couple of years time. I found that very liberating because especially with my little one, she's my baby. She had her birthday yesterday and she turned 4. And for me, it was like this last year, I felt that her first 2 years of her life were just a blur because I was so busy in this flow with my photography clients servicing them that she was 4 weeks old and I had to put her into part-time daycare just so I could get through work. And I cried my eyes out. But I got to that stage where I felt like I had to re-engineer my business to suit my lifestyle. And what I did in the last year, in actual fact, this year, I've taken a big step back from pushing my photography business because she's in kindergarten next year. And I realized I had to make those quality decisions. So even though I'm not as busy as I was 2 years ago, I know that perhaps maybe once she starts school, then I can kind of ramp things up. So coming to peace about the fact that you don't have to be crazy busy all the time. And depending on, you know, the ebb and flow of your business as well as your family life, it's okay to change and it's okay to say no. So, yeah, I find that's probably what's enabled me to keep my sanity.
Great advice there, I think, for any mom who's trying to balance all of those things. So, Mamika, I know you're clearly a go-getter. You've started businesses in multiple countries already, but have you had a low point in your business? And if so, how did you push past that?
Oh, do we have all night? Because I have a lot of those. Well, where do we start? I mean, that's the thing is, it's coming to that stage in my life now where I realize that even though I might have had low points, I believe that I've gone through them so I can help others through them. And a recent example is with my photography business, as mentioned, I'd come over from England and I was, you know, a very busy wedding and portrait photographer and the economy was doing great in 2006 and 2007. Then when 2008 hit, everybody in business that I know of was affected by that, you know, me included. And of course, being in a luxury product, you know, photography isn't a must have. It's kind of a nice to have. I did find I had a big fall off on clients being able to afford me. And for me, it was really frustrating. I didn't know how to handle this. I was so used to just the way the things were flowing. And I really had to look at things deeply and figure out, you know, okay, where do I want to go with my business? And I got to a stage where I really felt depressed. I thought, this business isn't I don't feel in control of this business. My life doesn't feel like I'm in control. And it's almost like I realized my identity in being a successful business owner or artist or mom felt like it was tied to my business, that when the plug was pulled out and that success or that level of momentum, if you want to call it that, wasn't there, I kind of had like a real hard time because I'm not necessarily a depressed person. I'm usually very happy and, you know, I'm always seeing the glass 3/4 full, you know, even fully flowing over. And for me, it was the first time I really hit rock bottom where I felt like, okay, who am I? What am I doing with my life? And is this really what I want to be doing? And I actually worked with a coach, which helped me go through, you know, figuring out exactly looking at my business from an outsider's perspective. Because, you know, the whole saying, you can't see the wood for the trees. When you're in it, it's very hard to take yourself out. Sometimes it's good to have a set of eyes of somebody who's not emotionally invested in it. So I'd find someone that I was able to talk to, and I found a mentor that helped me work through things. And it helped me sort of compartmentalize things like, okay, you're a wife and a mom. Just because you're failing in your business doesn't mean you're a complete failure in other areas, you know, because we beat ourselves up a lot. As, you know, as working moms, you always feel like you're trying to be the best of everything, and sometimes something's got to give. And unfortunately for me, I'd pushed myself to the point where even my health was starting to take effect. I started losing weight. I was really tired all the time. I even thought I had like ME, or what do you call that? I can't remember what it's called. But basically, I had like I just couldn't move. I mean, there was one stage for like a 6 weeks period where I just couldn't get out of bed. I just was dragging myself around. And I think a lot had to do with the fact it was more of an emotional and mental thing. And I'd never felt like that before. And I'm not the type of person to reach for pills whenever I feel a pain. I rather feel like, okay, if my body is going through a pain, it's a sign that something's got to change. So for me, I had to be really introspective and start to look at things and realize, where do I want to be? You know, in 2, 5, and 10 years time, where do I want my business to be? Do I want to be working? And I even thought, you know, do I need to just give up everything and be a stay-at-home mom? Because I felt like, you know, maybe that was the only way I could be a successful mom and wife, was just to give up the business. But I realized that, you know, that's not what I'm about. I really love to do things and be creative and help other people in what I'm doing. I just feel like I needed to do something with what I had available. So for me, it was a matter of working through that and understanding where I was going in order to push myself through where I was stuck. Because being stuck can be really hard. And sometimes somebody else looking at it and saying, listen, you got to stop doing that, or you need to do this, or just giving you a swift kick up the butt saying, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Having a pity party, the only one at the party is you. So, you know, get off the couch and stop sulking. So, yeah, that was one of those things. But it wasn't an overnight thing. It definitely took some time. It's not to say that, you know, I look back at that now and I think, you know, it was one of the best things that could have happened to me, because it helped me realign my values and my direction of where I was going. So I hope that answers that a long way around.
Definitely. That sounds like it was a really challenging period of your life. I could understand how that would be very challenging, but I like your ideas for coming through that, getting an outside perspective and really reevaluating how you felt about everything and what was working and not working for yourself in your business and personally. So thank you for sharing that with us. So after a low point like that, is there a big accomplishment in your business that you're the most proud of?
Well, it's hard to put it down to one, I think, because for me, I'm always like, once I've achieved something, I'm always on to the next thing, because I always feel life is a process of growing. And I have a little sign up in my house that I have to remind myself, you know, enjoy the journey, because sometimes if you're working so hard, you're not realizing where you are at in the moment. And for me, that's something I work with daily, is not to feel like I have to rush through what I'm doing in order to get to where I want to go. But saying that, one of the things that I felt that, during that low period when I was trying to figure out what to do with myself, I remember reading some things, and I follow Seth Godin's books and his blog, and I remember him, he always talks about pick yourself. Now, having been in, I'd worked in the television industry before, and the modeling industry and the photography industry, and I kind of always felt like I had these skills under my belt, and I never really was totally using them to the fullest potential, and I always felt like there's something bigger I was meant to do with my life. And I would always look for other people's approval, thinking, you know, maybe they would pick me, and if I did this, and then maybe if I won these awards, and then people would notice, or if I wrote a book, people would start to realize that I've got something valuable to give to the world. And I remember reading that thing about Seth Godin's thing, and he says, pick yourself. And I was like, that's an interesting concept. Yeah, why not? Why do I have to wait for someone else to say I'm good enough, or my work is of high enough quality, or what I have to offer the world is of value? I just picked myself. And in actual fact, that's what got me started in the Mika TV, is realizing, you know, I have something to say, and I want to, there's questions I have that need answers to. So I just decided, you know, I wasn't going to wait for someone to give me an Oprah moment and discover me and decide I was valuable enough to speak up. I decided I was going to do that myself. So I created my own platform. And of course, the first few videos were really ugly. I look back and I think, you know, and being a perfectionist was really hard, because I really wanted to get it right from the get-go. You know that whole saying about, you know, imperfect action is better than perfect inaction. So for me, I was waiting and making excuses about trying to get the whole perfect platform. And I even started with trying to do the shows live and, you know, spending money on having someone else do the whole fancy editing and, you know, trying to make it all the bells and whistles. And as I went along, I started to pull off elements and realize, how can I make it simpler? How can I get down to the core message? And it took me a good maybe 4 or 5 months to really get the flow of realizing, this is what I have to say. And even though the beginning I kind of was scared, like, who's going to even want to listen to me? Like, nobody knows who I am. But it's surprisingly enough, as soon as you start to show people that you're offering value, and you give first before you ask for favors, you tend to get a much better response. So for me, I'm all like, you know, give before you actually ask someone to do something for you. And part of that was, I suppose you could say it's selfish in one way, that I wanted to learn what these people were doing successful so I could get to figure it out myself. But in other ways, I felt like I had, you know, my intentions were good and I really wanted to help the industry. And instead of waiting for places like Creative Live to make some grandiose offer for me to actually be on a stage, I created my own stage. So I think that's a good way, you know, whether you wanted to start your own TV show is another thing. But even if it's writing a book or starting a website or starting to offer your services to someone, you don't have to have someone's approval to say, okay, now you're ready, you can do it. It really, sometimes it just takes taking the first step. And even though they are not perfect or they might be ugly, because you find that you'll tweak things along the way. Like, things have changed a lot since I first started, so I would never get it perfect the first time. But it took me taking those steps to realize what I really needed to do. So, yeah.
I love that, and I love pick yourself. That's one of the best things I've heard. That's what we all need to do. That's great advice. So, Mamika, I know you have multiple revenue streams with your business in terms of photography and your book sales and, you know, now starting Mamika TV. Can we talk income for a minute just in terms of how your business helps to support your family?
Yeah, sure. Well, let me say from the outset, Mamika TV is a work of a labor of love. I don't get paid for it. I actually pay to produce it. So if there are any sponsors out there, I'm willing to listen.
You heard it, guys. Mamika's ready for you.
Exactly. So as I said, we're on to, what is live? I think there's 34 shows that are live. I've recorded just over 40 and because I wanted to make sure I could give myself a bit of breathing space over the summer. But Mamika TV is something I'm paying out of my own pocket. I don't have sponsors. People don't pay me to produce that because I really felt I wanted to keep the message authentic. Not saying that I don't want to work with sponsors, but I believe so much in the message, in helping to create a free, actionable advice that people can use in their business without any sort of sugarcoating. I've invested my own money into making this happen. So that is the one side. The book sales, of course, as I said, you mentioned, I've got the one book that I wrote when I was pregnant with my four-year-old. Crazy time to write a book when you're pregnant. So I had a baby and a book delivered both at the same time. And I have another one coming out in September just on newborns, and that was also another baby I had to deliver. But
not a real-life baby.
Exactly, but it felt like it. I mean, writing a book you think is easy, but it's to sit through, you go through this excitement in the beginning, and then you get nauseous, and then you get really tired, and then you get the pain towards the end. It's like, this is never going to go away. My editor keeps sending me tweaks and tweaks, and I got to change this. And I'm like, oh, my word, is this ever going to happen? And then it does, and eventually you pop out the book, and it's done, and you're relieved. Without the epidural, I must say. So there's no pain.
Too funny.
So, and again, you know, people also have a misconception about books that, you know, people who write books make tons of money, only if you like these big names who make movies out of them. Books, again, are really a hard sell. But it's one of those things, like somebody said to me, why are you giving away all your knowledge in a book? Because I believe in building a legacy-based business, that I'm not going to be here forever, but whatever I do, I'm going to leave footprints in the world that people will remember that I was here. So no matter whether it's a TV show or a blog post I write, or a photo I take of someone, or a book that I've written, I just feel like I've got a bigger sense of why I want to do things, and that's really helped me hone in what it is that I do. And saying that, my main income streams are doing photography. That's still my primary revenue generator. So I do portraits for babies, usually, you know, newborn through the first year. And I've actually stepped up a lot over the summer. I'm rebranding or reworking my beauty and glamour brand and working and doing headshots of models and actors. And now that my 15-year-old is interested in modeling, I'm getting more involved in the commercial side again that I was in a few years ago. And then again, as I mentioned earlier, I'm busy working on the whole training program in Capture School. And I do mentoring as well on the side. So it's a matter of just depending on what season it is. Like, I was crazy busy before school broke up, but then once my little one was off preschool, I've had to, you know, readjust things. So it just depends on, you know, the time of year, what it is I'm doing most of. So, yeah, I try my best to keep myself afloat that way.
I've never heard that analogy before about writing a book. It was too funny. So with all of your different businesses or ventures that you're in, Capture School and Mamika TV and the photography business, is there a certain online tool, an app, or something that helps keep you organized? What is one of your go-to tools
to use? Well, as I mentioned earlier, was Google Calendar is definitely the way I keep myself organized. And having Wi-Fi or internet connection is a must-have. My iPhone is my second best friend because it's always attached to my hip. Part of what I find really useful is, especially since I've been doing Mamika TV, is using scheduling software. Now, I have a software program called ShootQ, which is actually designed for us photographers. So it helps me organize my photography studio in reminding clients when their appointments are due. It sends out email reminders of what to wear. I've used that as well in conjunction with a program called Schedule One or ScheduleOnce.com. Which helps to give people access to my diary. So when they want to make an appointment with me, they can go online, pick a time that works for them, and I get sent through the confirmation. And that eliminates a lot of that back and forth, like, you know, when you want to make an appointment. So whether you're doing mentoring with someone or you want to set up telephone meetings or, you know, general meetings, I find that's great because it automatically syncs with my Google Calendar. So I have a certain color for appointments. So if someone makes an appointment for that time, there's no double booking. So that has been a real lifesaver. And, of course, it's hands-off. So once it's somebody picks a date, they put their email address in, the system will remind them, like, I think I have it like a week before and a day before and an hour before the appointment. That way there's no excuses for people to forget about the appointment and I don't have to be on the phone reminding them or, you know, paying email tag. So, and in actual fact, a couple of years ago, I had a studio manager who was doing just that for me. So I've eliminated the need of that. Of this whole back and forth and, you know, trying to remind people. So that's been a biggie. And of course, as a photographer, I have a lot of tools and apps that I like to use, like the general, like Lightroom and Photoshop and using, different sort of what we call them, like online tools as well. But in terms of the business side, that definitely, the scheduling, as I said, you know, being in control of your own time and scheduling what it is you want to do when. So whether you want to go to the gym, that you put that in your diary. Because if you make an appointment with yourself, you respect that time as much as you would be with a client. And I think you are a lot more likely to get things done that way than to kind of just, oh, I'll get to it. Because believe me, my to-do list is a never-ending. I have to constantly, you know, go through it and cut out things that I know I can't get to. So, yeah, those are my favorites.
Okay, so schedule once. And then what was the other one you first mentioned?
It's the software called ShootQ. So it's shoot with the letter Q.com. But okay. It's primarily made for photographers. And it's a studio managed based software that also syncs with my calendar. And what it does, it's very similar to Schedule Once, but it's a little more in depth for photographers in terms of helping them, you know, keep their workflow. Because having a workflow that you stick to helps me remind myself, first of all, what I have to do. And then I have a contract staff that works with me. Like I have a retouch lady who works with me, but she's also in South Carolina. So we do everything via Dropbox. And knowing what my workflow system is, it helps me make sure I stay on point. Because before I would do something and then the next time I'd get to another client, I'd forget to do something. So it's almost like a reminding. And then whoever is involved in the process can stay on track. So whether it's someone in Ohio or England or, you know, North Carolina, whoever I'm working with, because a lot of my people that I work with are remote, we can all log in and actually see the system and stay on track. So even if I'm on vacation and something needs to be done that I can't get to, my virtual assistant can log in and do it for me. So, oh, and another one I must mention that I love to do for social media is the Buffer app, bufferapp.com.
Okay.
That I love because you can't be on the internet surfing Facebook 24/7. And I like to use the rules of, you know, like the 80-20, like 80% value-driven, 20% promotion. And, of course, it just depends. Like this week happens to be a crazy promotional week because I'm on 3 interviews and I did my own interview too. So I kind of feel bad for my email list. They're getting like an overload of watch this, do that. And I'm like, ooh. But with Buffer, what I can do is it's a very easy-to-use, user-friendly program where you can sync Facebook, LinkedIn, Google Plus, all your personal, your business pages. And then you can sync exactly what it is, your promotional post. So if you want to add, tell them about something or send a link to, like if you are on the internet and you find a page that has a good blog post that you think your audience will like, you can just click the Buffer in the toolbar, because you can download it from the website. So you can start to just fill the feed. That way I can pick when I want the promotions to go out, and I can spread them apart without, you know, annoying my audience. And I can set, so those are the things I'll do on a Tuesday, you know, like the promotion, my social media promotion for the week, as well as my blog posts. So when I'm in that mode, I'll schedule the next week of posts in all the different social media platforms. That way, you know, it's really hands-free. So when I'm at the beach or at the pool with the child, with my daughter, I don't have to feel guilty that I'm not on Facebook.
Right. Great apps there and recommendations. Those will definitely be helpful for our listeners, I'm sure.
I was curious, you mentioned a virtual assistant. Is there a certain company that you went through to find your virtual assistant? And what are the types of things that she does for you or he does for
well,
you?
Well, I have, again, it just depends on the season. And the reason why, as I said, I used to have someone used to come into the studio, but at my workflow, well, the volume has decreased substantially that I don't need someone all the time. So depending on, like, I went back home to South Africa in December for 4 weeks, and I needed an assistant to help me then. So I don't necessarily use her all the time, but I found some are through recommendations, through, you know, asking somebody else in business, you know, who would you recommend? Other places I've found people and I've tried out are Elance.com and other mom groups as well, or Facebook groups, like a lot of like business-minded groups. If you're like a creative-minded, there's a load of Facebook groups out there, and you'll find a lot of people who offer their services. So as I said, there was one was a recommendation, and I've worked with three over the last year at virtual assistants. I had like a social media virtual assistant, then I had an actual admin assistant. And I'm trying to remember what the other one did. But yeah, as I said, it just depends on what it is you want from them, where the social media one was just the social media. So she handled my Buffer app and all my promotions while I was away, because I had minimal internet access. And then I had another assistant who would make sure that all the emails were going out and answered any personal, you know, questions for studio appointments and things like that. So again, you know, that you can try it a few places. And then sometimes just searching online, like virtual assistant services, because there's a lot of actually stay-at-home moms provide that as a service to help give them some income and, you know, freedom of time as virtual assistants. So, yeah, that's a good one to try.
We use Elance ourselves and have been very impressed with the help that we've gotten there. So a website we recommend. So, Mamika, is there – I know maybe this would be hard to sum up, but is there a single biggest factor you could choose that's helped to grow your business the most?
Well, as I said, marketing is one of those moving targets, right? Trying to get your name out there. First of all, I would say the biggest advice I could give someone is to know where you're going before you start your journey. So a lot of us sort of fall into business, like especially photographers. We love our craft. We pick up a camera and someone starts saying, oh, you take great pictures. Maybe you should start to charge for it. And starting a business based on passion can be dangerous, because passion can burn out. And unless you know where you want to go, going down to things like exactly who you want to service. And this is part of what I teach in Capture School, is really helping people hone down their branding, who their target market is, you know, the type of the demographic, down to where she likes to shop, where does she like to spend her time, you know, what are her values, what are her beliefs, how does she make her purchasing decisions. All of those things are really key to developing a business that's sustainable, because if you get pulled along the nose and just happen to follow every whim, you'll end up pleasing nobody when you're trying to keep everybody happy. So I always say, you know, begin with the end in mind and think of the where you want to be. So if you just think, if you're starting a business, you want to build a business based on your own ideals, you've got to think of how much money you want to earn from it, how much time you have available to service your clients or produce your product, whatever it is that you're doing. And staying true to your ideals, because if you know who it is that you want to work with, it makes it easier to say no. Like the author Michael Port talks a lot about the red velvet road policy, and I'm a big proponent of that. And it basically means, like, if you thought of your business like a club, you had a red velvet rope at the front, who would you let in? You wouldn't just let anybody in. You wouldn't just service any client who's got an interest in what you do and who's willing to pay you money, because sometimes there's clients that cost you money. Just because they can pay you doesn't necessarily mean they are the best fit for you. And then what inevitably happens is either one, they get sticker shock because they can't believe how much you charge, or they don't value what it is that you're doing, and then there's a disconnect. And then what happens is that you get an unhappy client which is not good for business and it's not good for referrals. So I always say, you know, knowing where you want to be helps you work backwards so you can plan your marketing strategy. Because some people say, you know, well, what marketing method should I use? Should I buy Facebook ads or should I take an ad out in my newspaper? The methods are not as important as the motives. Like, what do you want to get out of this? Like, I actually had a question from a photographer. He said, you know, well, I'm starting out in business. Should I go and put, you know, drop these postcards in people's mailboxes? I said, well, let's look at it this way. You're the mom, or she, the lady of the house. She walks down to her post, her little mailbox. She picks up the cards. And if she's like me, who perhaps say, if I'm his ideal client, what am I going to do with those postcards? I'm going to stand over my trash can and toss them straight in. I'm not even going to bother looking at them, because first of all, it tells me this person is not professional if they can't afford to provide me with decent marketing materials. And second of all, they obviously are not at the quality that I want to hire someone as a photographer. So I said, you know, the question shouldn't be about whether it's postcards or Facebook ads. It should be, what do you want to get out of that? And where is your market? Like, for me, in my market, the type of photography that I do is more like sort of considered more higher end and more sort of style. So I know that my client is more sophisticated. She likes to have her nails done and get her hair done regularly. So I'm going to go create relationships with the hairstylists and the nail technicians and do perhaps an event together that helps me get in front of my audience, because that is far more a better use of your marketing budget than your time. Is getting in front of where your audience is and meeting them where they are instead of trying to pull them into wherever you are. So again, you know, marketing can be a big question, but as long as you know what you want to get out of it, that'll help answer exactly what you should be doing with it. I hope that's answers that question in a long run roundabout way.
I think there were definitely some great points in there, and that is really helpful to think about who is your market, who are you trying to reach, and make sure you're not wasting your time in the wrong places. Because like you said, it's not necessarily about volume, it's about the right client, the people that your business is trying to serve. So great tips.
Not to get too sidetracked, but I'm reading Purple Cow by Seth Godin right now.
Oh, good. And you'll love it.
I'm really enjoying it a lot. But it's interesting. He's, you know, kind of talking about targeting the right person. He calls them, it's such a gross analogy, but it works. He says you need to target sneezers that will sneeze your virus idea out to other people and infect them.
Exactly. And what it is, he calls them passion advocates, because what it is, they're so passionate about what it is that you do. It's like you don't have to pay them to talk about you, because people love to feel like they're in the know. Like, it's psychologically inbuilt in us. That's why social media has taken off the way it has, because, oh, look what I know. I'm announcing this has happened and look what I found, because this makes me feel like I know something better than someone else. Or perhaps it's kind of this need for self-actualization, I would think. You know, you want people to know, and that connection. And by having those people that you can sneeze, that sneeze for you, helps better than you having to sort of beg for people to get to, you know, spread your message. But at the end of the day, you've got to have a good message for it to be spreadable. And that's the thing, is that, like, I made these mistakes in my own businesses. You know, I overpromised and underdelivered. So when I was providing a good product, but I didn't finish the loop properly. So how it ended for a lot of my clients is because I'd started with, first of all, they were the wrong market. They shouldn't have been allowed through my red velvet rope. They were type of clients who didn't value what I was doing as an artist, who just wanted a deal, who got sticker shock when I told them the price, and then were like, oh, how can you charge so much money? And I felt defeatist, like, maybe there's something wrong with me. But in actual fact, is they shouldn't have been allowed through the door in the first place. But those who were through the velvet rope and who were the right client were thrilled with what they got, felt they hugged me at the end of it, were so glad to spend their money with me. They were only too happy to spread the word of what it is that I do with their friends. And that's exactly what it is making sure that whatever your message is the right one going through the right people, because then it does spread.
Since we were just talking about books, do you have a favorite business book or business blog, or have you received some great advice You've mentioned a couple of motivational things that you keep in mind, but anything else that stands out?
I mean, I'm an avid reader. I do a lot of my reading on Audible when I'm driving and, you know, in the carpool line or, you know,
We love Audible too.
I'm like constantly, I'll have to see. So the one I recently finished was, well, the one's by Sally Hogshead. She has the book called Fascinate, in actual fact. I buy them on Audible. If I like them, I go and buy the hard copy because I like to go back and make notes.
Yeah.
So that was a good one, Fascinate by Sally Hogshead, because I love the whole psychology of business too. It's like why people are motivated. And that helps you hone your marketing message if you know who you're aiming it at. Of course, Simon Sinek's Start With Why is really good. I also love those things. Of course, Michael Port's Book Yourself Solid is also a good formula for if you wanted to figure out how to get your branding and your messaging out there, finding the clients. You know, he calls dumping the duds if you do certain clients you don't want to deal with.
No.
And again, it just depends, like what I'm depending on what it is that you want to do. Like for instance, another book I'm reading is How to Deliver a Great TED Talk. So this is helping me hone in how I need I can become a better interviewer on my Mamika TV show. So, you know, asking the right questions, keeping the pace, helping people converse better, finding the right message. And I actually have a list on my website if people are interested, and it's just a free list of all the favorite books I've read. It's mamikakooney.com/book-list, and you can go there and have a look. I mean, every time I find one I like, I just go and add it. I think there's like 40 something there over the years I collect them. Those are great. So as I said, you know, you've got to be a lifelong learner. That's how we can get ahead, is constantly learn. I never arrive. I never feel like I've arrived. I always feel like there's something I haven't learned yet, and there's always something that I can learn from someone else, because you don't know what you don't know, right?
True.
Well, Mamika, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We've learned so much from you. To wrap things up, we wondered if maybe you had something cute that your kids have been up to lately, or something funny that they've said that you could share with our listeners.
Oh, sure. Yes. Well, over the last couple of days, I've had painters in my house reinventing the look of the inside of my home. And my four-year-old is way too curious. She keeps, hey, guys. What are you doing? Why you got a dirty? You need to go wash your shirt. You've got paint on your shirt. Do you know you got dirty? You need to go wash your hands. Oh, what are you doing here? Let me tidy this for you, because she's a little neat freak. And the guy's like, okay. So it's been a bit of a mission. That's why I had to take her to the pool today to get her out of their hair. But she turned 4 yesterday, and she's more like 4 going on 14. She's a real sassy pass. You know, she's one of those like, I'm so clever. Yeah. You know, I'm so gorgeous. I'm like, I think she's heard it so many times, because her older brother and sister, we're always telling her that, oh, you're so cute, you're so gorgeous. Now we have to deal with this whole acting a little facetious. So we have had a lot of time out lately.
Oh, no.
And like even this morning, I went to Bed Bath and Beyond, and she had a complete meltdown, and I had to take her out the store having a hissy fit, trying to push the cart out without rolling into the back of my car. And subsequently she fell asleep in the car. So that was the rest of my day gone. But, you know, you do what you can. And even though I had work planned today to do a couple of things, that went out of the window. Because whenever the kids have their needs first, it's always mommy first and then business later. And it's okay. I can deal with that. There's always tomorrow.
It sounds like you have a real confident girl on your hands.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you so much. Could you list off your contact information for everybody so that they know where to find you?
Yeah, sure. Well, my website is mamikakooney.com, spelled MIMIKACOONEY.com. And it's like Mamika and then like George Clooney without the L. The women always remember that. And that is the place that you can get in contact with me. That's also the home of Mamika TV. So as I said, every Wednesday we release a new interview with a creative business owner. And I do have some freebies on my website that you're welcome to go and grab. I have an ebook called Modern Marketing, which will help you think outside the box. With all the reading I do, I'm always collating ideas and how can we think of things, do things quicker, smarter. And Capture School is captureschool.com. And even though it's primarily based off a lot of the stuff that I've learned in my photography business, a lot of the things include things like true brand, which is identifying your target market, magnetic marketing strategy, which helps you use social media and designing a strategy that actually works, because there's no point in throwing marketing money against the wall hoping it will stick. I also go through things like how to develop a newsletter and build an email list, because I really feel that's also undervalued in a lot of businesses, is keeping in communication with your clients, helping them, you know, stay on an email list, as well as, you know, the creativity side. And I'm always adding to it. But for now, the first, you know, Capture School 1.0 is going to be launching in the fall. So if you want to get more information, go there. And then we've got some freebies we'll send you as well. Once you're in the list, we'll keep in contact there. And then social media, you just look for my name. I'm on Pinterest, Instagram, Google+, LinkedIn. And whenever I find a new platform, I secure my name because I don't want anyone else to take it. I had that with YouTube. Somebody got my Mamika TV URL.
Really?
And he wants to charge me an arm and a leg to buy it from him. I'm like, yeah, right. That's advice, is whenever you see a new platform come out, just go and grab your name, even if you're not going to use it, just so you have control. So there you go.
Great. Thank you.
We ended another great tip there. So thank you again, Mamika, for chatting with us today. We've just learned so much. We have so much advice to take from you, and we appreciate you spending the time with us.
Yes. Well, thanks for having me. I'm always happy and excited to be able to talk to other like-minded business moms who are we all in the same boat trying to figure things out. And I'm happy to share that. So thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in today. As you heard, Mamika loves Audible just as much as Beth Ann and I do. If you would like to give Audible a try, head over to audibletrial.com/brilliantbusinessmoms. And you can try Audible free for 30 days, which includes one free audiobook. Or you can head over to the show notes and we will have links to Audible there as well. Thanks again. Hope you have a great day.